Talon said something harsh in his native language, then asked,
"How is that possible?"
Luke glanced down, and just rounding the island, found a familiar designator symbol. Ship.
"What kind of tactical readout is this?"
Talon demanded.
"Ship? What kind of ships? How big? Do they pose a threat?"
"They?" Luke asked, puzzled.
"Have you no eyes?"
Kai demanded.
"The readout shows a whole squadron, and we're flying straight into it."
"Oh, those ships," Luke said. The display showed only one designator symbol, so the squadron was obviously another fallen Aussie illusion. "Aren't they yours?"
"Ours?"
Talon asked. Luke pointed at the symbol on his screen. "That's not just any ship," he explained. "It's ship, the meditation sphere. Until now, we didn't realize you had a whole fleet of them, so we've just been using ship's name as its designator symbol." Luke continued toward the island on a straight course, wondering how long it would take Talon to admit that the illusory vessels weren't his. The more desperate the Sith were to protect a strength greater than they possessed, the more likely it was they were actually very weak, and that would be valuable information to have. Even so, Luke was ready to put the Shadow into an evasive dive at the first tingle of danger sense. The range of most spacecraft weapons was greatly diminished in atmosphere, but ship remained enough of a mystery that it was impossible to know how soon it might open fire. The dark speck of a distant vessel appeared on the horizon, about a kilometer to one side of the island, and began to grow rapidly as it closed with the Shadow. Luke kept his thumb poised over the targeting pad on the pilot's yoke, but he stopped short of arming the concussion missiles, or even designating ship as a primary target. Both actions would trigger confirmation messages that his passengers were likely to notice. When Talon still refused to admit the illusory vessels were not his, Luke said, "Have your squadron fall in behind the Oburi. It will be easier if everyone follows the Shadow in."
"Easier for you, perhaps, and for anyone targeting them,"
Talon replied.
"I will decide how to deploy my squadron, Master Skywalker."
By the time the High Lord had finished speaking, ship had swelled to the size of a thumbnail and was probably close enough to open fire. Either Talon actually believed that he controlled the squadron of ships, or he was more afraid of appearing weak than he was of dying. Either way, it was time to call the High Lord's bluff. "In that case, would you mind asking the squadron to swing about?" Luke asked. "We're entering combat range, and I don't like having all those plasma lances pointed my way."
"Plasma lances?"
Talon asked, obviously bewildered. Luke lowered his voice in suspicion. "You haven't heard about the plasma lances?" He armed the concussion missiles and designated ship as the primary target, then caught Talon's eye in the mirror panel. "How can you be in command of meditation spheres and not..." "Oh, you aren't." Talon's bewilderment turned to a knowing smirk.
"Nice try, Master Skywalker, but there are no such things as plasma lances," he said. "I assure you, I am in complete command of ship and all its mates."
The conviction in the High Lord's voice suggested he truly believed what he was saying, and Luke had a sinking feeling he knew why. "How did you and Saber Kai escape Abeloth's planet?" Luke asked. "Aboard ship?"
"Of course,"
Talon replied.
"I commanded ship to come to me."
"And ship limped you out of the maw," Luke guessed. "Then you brought ship to Padir in a frigate hangar bay. Back to Abeloth." Talon's voice grew less confident.
"We brought ship with us, yes,"
he confirmed.
"But it remains under my control, not Abeloth's. And right now, ship is telling me to return to shore and call for reinforcements. There's a large force ahead waiting to ambush us."
"A fallen Nossi force?" Luke let out a burst of laughter. "For a Sith, you're awfully naive."
"Ship is not lying to me, Master Skywalker."
Talon's voice assumed a note of urgency, perhaps because he was experiencing a tingle of danger sense similar to the one Luke felt.
"Turn!"
The second half of Talon's command vanished into the screech of proximity alarms. Luke thumbed the firing button on the pilot's yoke, then felt two soft thumps as a pair of concussion missiles shot from their launching tubes. In the same instant, a trio of smoke lines streaked toward them from ship's direction. Streaks of color fanned across the sky as the Obori sprayed cannon fire at the squadron of illusory meditation spheres. Luke spun the shadow into a barrel roll, dropping to within a few meters of the rolling waves, then continued toward the island. The smoke lines bent toward them. Ben's voice came over the intercom speaker.
Dad, you do see all those meditation spheres, right? The ones you're going to fly straight under?
Yeah, Ben, I see them. It was not exactly true, but Luke could see the one craft that mattered, ship. Don't worry.
Who's worried?
Ben's reply was followed by a muffled,
I am,
from Vistara, and a chorus of agreement from the other Sith packed into the main cabin.
We were just wondering if you wanted us to do anything,
Ben continued.
Thanks, Luke said.
The smoke lines continued to curl toward the shadow.
But we have it under control up here.
Under control?
Gavar Kai cried.
We're outnumbered 6-1.
But we've got you and Talon,
Luke said, craning his neck to look through the top of the canopy. At the leading point of each smoke line appeared a tiny ball of orange flame, most likely a friction fire caused by one of the force-hurled stones ships sometimes used as missiles. How about giving those rocks a force nudge?
Which ones?
Talon gasped.
There must be 50.
Hold on.
Luke turned the shadow directly toward the three real missiles, and the tiny fireballs instantly swelled to the size of Wookiee heads.
Those.
Are you mad?
Despite Talon's surprised outcry, the three fireballs veered sharply to the left and vanished. Luke would have liked to check the tactical readout to see what had become of ship, but a curtain of white cliff loomed ahead. At the velocity they were traveling, it was impossible to guess the distance, but they were getting close. Obori cannon bolts were already starting to blast sprays of powdery stone from the island's sheer face. Luke knew he would never have a better opportunity to lead the Sith into a trap, but with Talon nearby, the only plan that stood a chance of success was no plan. He simply had to act and react. More cannon bolts began to end their flight in a starburst of superheated stone. Luke hazarded a check of the tactical readout and saw no sign of ship, only the Obori jinking about in an effort to avoid illusory missiles. By the time Luke lifted his gaze, the Obori's cannon bolts were exploding into the cliff face, a mere second after flashing past the shadow. Luke pulled the pilot's yoke back and felt the star yacht's nose snap upward.